We are in the midst of celebrating Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is about the challenges of the intersection of cultures and the challenges that that brings. Conflicts between cultures can come about in what I would call value-neutral areas and areas that are value-charged. The latter can be much more complicated. And sometimes something can be, a conflict can appear to be value-driven, but fundamentally speaking, it's not really value-driven. The conflict and the issues of science in its core fits into the former category. It's a value-neutral conflict. In principle, science and Torah and science and religion should have no overlap. Science is by its very definition descriptive of the natural world. And religion, Torah, is prescriptive. It doesn't tell you, describe the world. It describes what we should do, what our values are, what kind of world we should aspire to create. Unless science or religion oversteps its bounds, which can happen, scientists might decide to prescribe certain values, or theologians might start describing the world as they think it is, that's when the conflicts between science and religion arise. But they're fundamentally two unrelated disciplines. And just to sort of illustrate this, it's not the topic that I wish to address today. If you think about the question of global warming, a scientist can say that the world is warming. That's empirically measurable. It has been empirically measured. They can say that human beings are the cause of the warming of the Earth. They can only say that with probability, although it seems overwhelming probability. I'm not questioning that. They can describe what continued warming will bring and what the ramifications will be, again, with a great degree of probability, a statistical likelihood. Of course, they can't take into account what happens if you have another massive volcanic eruption, which could at least temporarily change the equation. But they can speak in descriptive terms with a certain degree of probability. These are all descriptive. Where science steps beyond the bounds of science is in prescribing what should be done and who should bear the cost of that. So if we're talking about what we should do in response to the threat of global warming, acknowledging that it's happening, that the causes, what we should do and who should pay for it, that's not a scientific issue. And I don't mean to suggest that I don't think we should be doing something. I'm not debating that, and I'm not saying that scientists don't have some very good ideas. I find the notion of the prospect of global warming to be rather scary, and I probably wouldn't disagree with much of what scientists are prescribing. It's just that what we should do is not science, but public policy. And public policy should be based upon A, good science, and B, societal values and needs. Now, so I want to be clear, I think we need to do something about global warming, but I want to highlight the difference between what is science and what is policy, what are values. Conflicts between Torah specifically and science arise either with certain biblical passages, especially the story of creation, whose literal reading conflicts with the claims of contemporary science, or with Ma'amari Chazal of Agadah, which, again, taken literally, conflict with the claims of contemporary science, or with legal passages in Chazal, with halacha, which base the halacha upon certain scientific assertions which conflict with the claims of contemporary science. I'm not interested in discussing now how to deal with these kinds of conflicts. I have elsewhere presented on these topics how the way I approach them. Some agree with my approach. It's not really my approach. Others disagree. That's not my interest for now. They're very important topics, but they're not the topic du jour. The disagreements that exist in those areas, however, can only exist because there is a conflict. But where Chazal do not assert scientific claims, there is no doubt how one determines the facts. That is, the best science available to us, which is Ein L'dayin Ela Ma She'ein Avraos. The Gemara Nida Daf Lamed, the Mishnah cites a machlokas Rabbi Yishmael and the Chachamim as to how long the Yetziras Havlad of a Nekeva is. The Yetziras Havlad of a Zachar, whatever the nafkaminas are, according to everybody, is 40 days. The Yetziras Havlad of the Nekeva, the Chachamim say 40 days, like that of a Zachar. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, 80 days. The Gemara then cites a brisa with a dialogue between Rabbi Shmuel and the Chacham. And Rabbi Shmuel, obviously, at first glance, has derived the 40 and the 80 days from the Tumah of a Yolades in the beginning of Parshas Tezria. And Rabbi Yishmael points to those things. And the Chachamim respond by noting that Cleopatra Malkas Alexandria, Cleopatra, they did an experiment with some of her shvachos who had been condemned to death. And they saw, when they did an autopsy, that the female fetuses were formed at 40 days. So they brought that as a raya. And Rabbi Yishmael, in the Nusach HaBraisa in the Bavli, said, Ani mevi lochem raya min haTorah, v'atem mevi'in li raya min haShoten. Now, if you stop there and you read that, you would say, ah, you see you have the pro-science group and the anti-science group. But that's not the maskan of the Gemara, because the Bavli, in its ensuing discussion, says, Mai atem mevi'in li raya min haShoten. The Bavli wanted to know what was that response. And the Bavli's answer is that what Rabbi Yishmael said the Chachamim was not that science is invalid, it's that they did a crummy experiment. How did they know that the Shvachos, who had a female fetus, and formed in 40 days, maybe they had gotten pregnant much earlier than they realized? I'm not interested in the Pratim. But what is clear is that the Bavli thought it was inconceivable that anybody could just dismiss an argument which had been empirically demonstrated. Even Rabbi Yishmael wasn't denying the efficacy of science. He just said they did lousy science. And in fact, in a subsequent brisa the Gemara quotes, it's exactly inverted. And the Chacham say to Rabbi Yishmael, when he tried to bring a raya, Atem mevi'in li raya min haShoten, and the Gemara does the very same thing, to say it's not a categorical claim that science and empirical observation is valid. Adarabba. Of course empirical observation is valid. It's just the Chacham say that Rabbi Yishmael's cited experiment was a bad experiment. The Yerushalmi in Maseches Pesachim, in the second perek, cites a famous debate between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim. You know of the debate from rice, but the Gemara doesn't have it there by rice, it has it by some other kinds of grains, as to whether or not it can become chametz and be used for matzah. And the Gemara asks a very simple question. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yishmael believes that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri believes that it can be ba lidei chimutz, and the Chachamim believe it only is ba lidei sirchon, probably means fermentation, as opposed to leavening. So the Gemara just says, v'yiv dekune, why didn't they do experiments? To which the Yerushalmi responds, they did, but they argued about what the results of the experiments were. Once again, in determining how to apply the halacha, the Yerushalmi took as a given, certainly in the absence of a clear tradition, that you use the best science available. The Ramban, in the beginning of the third parak of Chulin, Elu Trefos, the Gemara has a machlokes, whether trefa chaya or trefa inachaya. Is an animal that we know is a trefa, or I should say, if an animal is a trefa, can it survive for more than 12 months or not? The nafkamina being, when you have an animal that's a suffix, whether it became a trefa, certain kinds of things but we can't tell by autopsy, if the animal survives 12 months from the time of the injury, is that proof that the animal did not become a trefa? So the Gemara has a machlokas. So the Ramban, what I believe is often misquoted, that people quote this Ramban to say, it's the famous Ramban who says, there's no such thing as a machlokas in Metzias. The Ramban does not say that. The Ramban asks a question. He says, how could they not just have empirically determined? Why didn't they do an experiment and see whether a trefa can live 12 months or not? And the Ramban says, they did. The problem was the following. They took a bunch of animals that were trefas. They put them in a pen, and they watched them for 12 months, and they all died. So the man, the Amar, that said, Trefa Einachaya, said, ah, you see, a Trefa can't live 12 months. And the man, the Amar, who said, Trefa Chaya, that a Trefa can live, it may not usually, but it can live 12 months, would say, yeah, those animals died, but if you took another 1,000 animals, a few of them would have lived. So again, the assumption is that it should be subject to empirical demonstration. The only question is, are you able to design the experiment that is necessary? And thus it is clear, it is absolutely clear that in dealing with issues of science and medicine, unless there's a conflict with something that Scripture says or Chazal say explicitly, there is nothing to discuss. In those cases, there's a lot to discuss. In this case, there's nothing to discuss. We follow the best science available to us in the same way that Gedolim and the Chachamim and the Gemara did in every single generation. What I'm saying should be Dvarim Pshutim. But unfortunately, there have been some voices in the Orthodox community arguing against vaccinating children. The advocacy is based upon science, which is sheker v'chazav. All the science behind it has been disproven. There was a fraudulent article that was published about 20 years ago in a major journal, which was retracted because it wasn't just couldn't be replicated. It was fraudulent. This arguing against vaccinating children has already resulted in serious illness in many, many people, and maybe even death. A careful reading of the Rambam in the first few chapters of Hilchot Rotzeach u'Shmiras Nefesh, and I owe a little bit of this to Gershon's father, who pointed out certain things to me decades ago, the Rambam seems to speak of three different kinds of what I want to call it murder, three kinds of Isurim. The first one is lo samad al dam reyacha, the failure to save life. But this is actually not a kind of murder. For example, if someone is a rodef and you can intervene and save the pursued from the pursuer and you don't do so, you violate lo samad al dam reyacha. The second is lo sirtzach, active murder, for which under the right circumstances, with Eidim Asra and a Beis Din with Smicha and a Beis Din with Sanhedrin Lishon Psychosis, you get the death penalty. You get Herod. And then the Rambam has a third category, which I think your father might have termed, and maybe it belongs there, called Shrichos Damim. The Rambam describes in one place that about such a person, it's sometimes when you do a grumma, you cause someone to die, but you don't do it mamish v'yadayin that yuchay misa. The Rambam says, v'doresh damim, doresh mimenu dam. The one who seeks the doresh dam in the Ribbono Shel Olam will seek that person's blood. In effect, it's a kind of chiyav misa bidei shamayim. The Rambam speaks of those three categories, and that's a person who's in between these two. He's not simply an innocent bystander who does nothing, but he's not someone who's mortzeach b'yadayim. And that person, again, is doresh damim, will be doresh that person's dam. Someone who fails to take action to save other people's lives, or property, and from property it's a kavachomer to their health, violates lo samad al dam reyacha. But someone who actively encourages people who otherwise would have vaccinated their children minimally violates Eilifnei Iver Lo Siten Mechshel and Lo Samad Al Dam Reyacha. But one might also argue that it goes further, perhaps in the letter of the law, but absolutely from the vantage point of the spirit of the law, when someone dies because of their reckless and pernicious ignorance of scientific matters which are as Baru U'Pashut Kezor Akiya as can be in the realm of science, they are, at least in spirit, bichlal shofchei damim, v'doresh damim, yidrosh es damam. The pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, speaking about the death of the king of Melech Asa, speaks about the things that he did wrong, and one of the things that he did wrong was that in his illness he didn't seek God, but he sought the doctors. There's a question of how this can be reconciled with Chazal's statement of Rapo Yirape later in this Masechta, of that Mikan Shenitein Roshus Larofe Larapos, and we assume that Refuah is a tremendous mitzvah. The Ramban, in his commentary on the Tochacha in Vayikra, in Perachavav, says that really in the perfect Torah world, with spiritually perfect people, you wouldn't seek out the doctors, you would instead seek out the Navi. But as he quotes the Gemara in Brachos, says that she'ein darkon shel bnei adam refuos ela shenohagu. That, in fact, is the practice. Really, we shouldn't seek out doctors, we should seek out God, but that is the practice. And Chazal accepted that as legitimate, and it's a mitzvah upon people to seek out medical assistance. If a person categorically wanted to refuse any medical assistance because they were thought they were on a certain level, it might be deeply problematic, but that would be one thing. But a person who seeks out doctors in many areas, but all of a sudden turns around another area and then ignores science, that's unacceptable. You can't point to the idea that we should rely upon God when you don't rely upon God for all your other kinds of medicine. I don't think that the issue is yet a major one in the modern Orthodox community. And that being the case, as I've said recently in a public forum, I don't like to preach to the choir, and as a general rule, I don't like to do tzitzis checks on other communities. I prefer to do tzitzis check on myself, on my own community, not on others. But I think that we do need to be vigilant about this, because there are many ideas that often spread from parts of the Haredi world to our world. Many of those ideas are actually very good things. But while we can debate about any particular idea, whether it's a good thing we should adopt or not, we need to recognize that this idea is downright dangerous. If it isn't already, it should be the policy of every institution, every school in our community, that no child, unless there's a medical exemption from vaccination, should be allowed in. There's no such thing as a religious exemption in a Jewish community, because there's nothing in our religion that would allow one to argue that you shouldn't be vaccinated. It's absolutely unacceptable. And anyone who doesn't want to abide by that should be categorically banned from institutions where it's relevant to have such a policy. It's a matter of shmiras nefesh and lo samar al dam reyecha. In a world that is malei sheker, we need to be particularly vigilant whenever sheker of any kind intends to infiltrate a Torah community, whether it's a sheker of halacha, a sheker of hashkafa, or a sheker of mitzias and science. Chosamel shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Gemara in Shabbos says, is emes, and that's what we are obligated to pursue. Shabbos.